Good morning. Welcome. It's good to see you. We're in this series I'm calling Voting Values. And today is part three. And basically what we're doing is we're going through the Ten Commandments and seeing how they will apply to our life's values and maybe apply to values in helping us in the upcoming election. And I know they say you don't want to talk about politics and religion. Well, we're not going to talk about either today. We're going to talk about God's Word. And so we're in part three. We're going to look at the third commandment. And I think I could summarize that in one sentence. God says, take my name seriously. That pretty much summarizes what the third commandment is. Take my name seriously. There's a guy by the name of Paul Dickinson, and he wrote a book called Names. And he had a hobby of collecting strange and unusual names. He says sometimes names seem to be prophetic. In 1941, there were two men who were executed in the electric chair in Florida State Penitentiary. Their names were Wilburn and Fizzle. Okay, some of you aren't awake yet. Recently, there was a Montreal window washer who died by accident, falling as he was washing windows. His name was Will Drop. Okay, not making this up. Maybe he did, I don't know. Others, he said, seemed destined for certain occupations. Joe Bunt became a baseball coach. Dan Druff became a barber. Jeff Treadwell became a podiatrist. Go Forth and Ketchum. That was two guys. They became police officers and partners. And Officer Go Forth and Ketchum. O'Neill and Prey became partners in a church equipment company. And Wonderfully Trembly was a psychologist. A plaster contractor's name was Will Crumble. Okay. What's in a name? God says there's a lot in a name, especially when it's His name. In the third commandment, in Exodus 20, verse 7, He says this, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Or in another translation, he says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God." Why is God so sensitive about His name? God says that your name represents three things. It represents your reputation, represents your character, and it represents authority. It represents your reputation. You've heard people say, "He's making a name for himself." That's what they're talking about. When somebody has a good reputation, they say, "He's got a good name." When he's got a bad reputation, they say, "Well, he's got a bad name." When I say a name, you automatically think of a reputation. Hitler. You think of a reputation. Osama bin Laden. Martin Luther King. Billy Graham. You think of the reputation. Elvis. Some of you haven't heard of him. Madonna. Some of you wish you hadn't heard of her. Oh, I shouldn't say that. What do people think about when your name is mentioned? A name represents your character. What you are cannot be separated from what your name is once it's identified together. In the Bible, they would often name children after certain character qualities, like honest and justice, so that it would represent their character. Many times in the Bible, when somebody changed their character, their life was changed. God gave them a new name. Abram became Abraham. Jacob became Israel. Simon became Peter. Saul became Paul. God would change their names because He said it represents your character. I remember growing up, maybe your dad told you this, but I can remember my dad telling me, remember who you are. You're a Farwell. That meant don't do something stupid, you know, that would tarnish the character and reputation that my dad had built up by being an honest man who was known as a Christian or a representative of Christ. Your name also represents authority. When a police stops you, he says, stop in the name of Bugs Bunny. No. He says, stop in the name of the law. Why? Because there's authority behind that name. If you received a call from a George Brown while you were eating dinner, you might have to call him back later, right? But if his name was George Bush, you'd probably take the call right there. Names have a representation of authority. God says, when you misuse my name, it's no small thing. In fact, the second half of that verse in Exodus 27 says, the Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. In all the translations I've seen, Lord is capitalized. God says it's a big deal because you're defaming my reputation, my character, and my authority when you're using it flippantly. Now, Chip's getting ready to name a baby, so he's going to really have to pay attention to the name he chooses. When we think about misusing God's name, we usually think about swearing. But there's many other ways that you can misuse God's name besides just swearing. You can use God's name to insult. You can use God's name to indulge. You can use God's name to intimidate. You can use God's name to impress. You can use God's name impulsively. And I think these are all different ways that we can misuse God's name. First of all, you can misuse God's name to insult. This is when you use profanity or swearing to express irritation. Somebody once said, if cussing and cheating are crimes, then golf should be illegal. Okay? I heard about a farmer who was late home to dinner. His wife said, did the wagon break down? The farmer said, no, on the way home, I offered a ride to the minister, and from that point on, the mules didn't understand a thing I said. America is probably the most foul-mouthed nation in the world. It's sad, and we're hearing about it today. It's becoming more so. You know, it's not just candidates. It starts early on. It's coming out of homes. Diane was, when she was a parapro, when she worked with children, she would have first and second graders cuss her up and down like she had never heard. It's just becoming foul-mouthed. People have taken freedom of speech to mean that they can say whatever they want, including taking and misusing the name of God. You know, today a movie will not sell if it doesn't have cussing in it. If it's a G rating, nobody wants to go see it. They intentionally add profanity to movies in order to get an R because they want it to be a hit. Books and magazines and TV are filled with profanity. Video games are even rated based on the content of swearing, violence, and sexuality. The most well-known garbage mouths in our society, I believe, are comedians and musicians. Many comedians, both men and women, get paid big bucks to take the Lord's name in vain. And people can sit there and think it's hilarious. A lot of rappers lace their lyrics with the foulest language you can imagine. You can't avoid hearing it. Have you ever wondered, why do people swear? I think they lack emotional control, but the main reason is they do it to try to make an impression on others. As a little kid, the first time you swore, you thought you were hot stuff. But the fact is, weak people have to use swear words, strong words to try to impress others. I believe anybody can swear. It takes no intellect, no IQ, no education. You know, I can teach a parrot to swear. A chimpanzee, a three-year-old. How many of you remember a parrot story that I told a long time ago? Oh, okay, I'll tell it again. I heard about a lady who went into a pet shop to buy a parrot. And the guy selling the parrot says, I have to warn you, this parrot was owned by a sailor. And sometimes the language is just terrible. And she said, no problem. He says, you're sure? She couldn't figure out how come the price was marked down. I mean, it kept marking it down. She says, that's a good deal, I'll take it. So anyway, she buys this parrot, she takes it home, and sure enough, about an hour later, it's just turning the air blue, swearing and everything. And so she doesn't say anything. She goes and takes a parrot. She opens the freezer and she puts it in the freezer, puts a timer on for 30 seconds. After 30 seconds, she takes it out, puts it on its perch, and is kind of ruffling its feathers a little bit, but it didn't talk bad. And all of a sudden, about 3 hours later, again, it just starts swearing. And so she doesn't say a word. She goes, she gets it, she puts it in the freezer. This time she puts the timer on for a minute. And when she gets it out, the parrot, he's about frozen stiff, and he just doesn't say anything for like almost 6 hours. And finally, he starts to talk, and he says, okay, I'm not going to swear. I just want to know, what did that turkey say? You know, it takes maturity to discipline your speech, especially when you're angry. You stub your toe, you hit your thumb, you step on a Lego in the middle of the night. A guy cuts you off in traffic. It takes discipline to not swear. It shows maturity and self-control by not doing that. But people misuse God's name to insult and express irritation through swearing. Here's the second thing. You can misuse God's name to indulge. What do I mean by that? You know, we excuse ourselves and we blame God. God didn't want me to clean up the living room today. You think that one works for me with Diane? No. I just didn't feel led to get out of bed to go to work. God doesn't want me to fulfill that business deal. God wants me to do something different. Or somebody says, well, I've prayed about it. You use God as a cover for yourself and indulge yourself. I can't tell you how many times I've heard someone say that God wants me to be happy, and I'm not happy in my marriage, so I'm going to get a divorce. God wants me to get a divorce. That's so wrong. You made a promise before God when you got married, and the Bible says in Leviticus 19:12, it says, do not make a promise in my name if you do not intend to keep it. That brings disgrace on my name. If you think that your happiness justifies whatever sin it is, you need to know that God is more interested in your holiness than your happiness. He is. Here's the third thing, misusing God's name to intimidate. Some people are pros at this. They come up to you, they say, God told me what you should do. God told me what's wrong with you. God told me that you're supposed to lend me money. You know, you see this on TV with dishonest TV evangelists. They do this all the time. God said, if you don't send in $1,000, we're going to pull the plug. You know, when I hear this kind of quote-unquote holy intimidation, I think, pull the plug. Do it. You know, pull it and don't misuse God's name to intimidate people for your own gain, because that's what they're doing. God says, that's misusing my name. I'm afraid parents do this. You know, when you're frustrated, you've tried timeouts, you've tried taking away their allowance, spanking, or whatever it is. Finally, you pull out the big stick and say, if you keep doing that, God's going to get you. No. That's intimidation. Spouses can do this in marriage. I've prayed about this, and I feel God's peace. I know God wants us to buy this Jaguar. You know, how are you going to argue with God? That's misusing God's name with intimidation. In the world, they call that forgery. Forgery is when you use somebody else's name to get what you want. There's a lot of spiritual forgers in this world who misuse God's name by saying, well, God told me. And they expect you to say, well, it must be true then. If God told you, I would warn you to be real careful about speaking for God. Real careful. And beware of those who say God has given them a special message. If it doesn't come from God's word, I'd run from it. God's message to us is in his word. Here's the fourth thing, using God's name to impress. Insecure believers do this a lot. They often try to prove how spiritual they are by their jargon, by using continuous religious phrases, spiritual cliches. They feel like the more they use the name of Jesus in a sentence, then the more spiritual they must be. You know, I've met people before who are really trying to impress me because I'm a pastor. And they're like, bless God, that was a great sermon. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, talk doesn't impress me. Lifestyle, life change does. People pitter-patter on using a constant jargon, trying to impress you with their spirituality. They get this syrupy tone. Can you hear it? If you have people talk to you like that, I'm sorry. Personally, it just it turns me off. In fact, I think some of the big misusers of this are pastors. And it bugs me in this area because you hear their voice change when they say, God. Like, God, our heavenly Father. Don't use God's name to showboat. Don't turn God into a cliche. In Matthew 6, God warned about standing on the corner on a busy street in Winslow, Arizona. No, that was a song. God warns about standing on the corner on a busy street praying so that everyone would be impressed with you. Titus 1:16 says, they claim to know God, but by their actions, they deny him. We take God's name in vain when we claim to be committed to him, but we don't back it up with our lifestyle. A guy says, I love the Lord. He's number one in my life. So I'm thinking, are you involved in any kind of ministry? Well, no. Are you meeting with him every day? Are you reading his Bible? Are you having a quiet time with him? No. Are you tithing? Well, no. What does he mean to you then? It's just words. Here's the fifth way of misusing God's name, and that's doing it impulsively. This one is easy for many of us to fall into as a trap. It's when you use God's name as a convenient expression of fear or anger or joy or amazement or surprise. You know, it's like, I just caught a 10-pound fish. My God. Or Susie's pregnant. Oh, my Lord. Or I just split my pants. My God. I have to tell you that it makes me real uncomfortable just saying God's name like that in a message. When I just said that, that makes me uncomfortable. When we do that, we are reducing God to a level of wow. Or far out. That's an old term. You guys probably don't remember. You know, I see this a lot on Facebook. The OMG thing. And it makes me cringe. Don't make God an exclamation point. God says, when you use my name, you take it seriously. Don't use it flippantly. Don't use God's name as a filler or an adverb in your sentences. Misusing God's name impulsively, that means using it without thinking. Did you know that you can even worship impulsively? You can take the Lord's name in vain while you worship. You can misuse God's name in church. Have you ever sung a song about Jesus Christ and you didn't think about the words? Your mind was a million miles away. Your heart's not there. You're just kind of going through the motions, half-heartedly, routine. God says in Isaiah 29:13, these people worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And he says, when you pray, don't use a lot of meaningless words. Do you ever use a habitual prayer? Like rub-a-dub-dub, thanks to the grub. You know, like you're in a hurry for dinner. You pull out that standard one and you pray it. We've all done that. And that is misusing the Lord's name. Have you ever used God's name as a filler in your prayer? Have you ever heard a prayer like this? Dear Jesus, we want to thank you, God, for the nice day. Dear Lord and Father, we thank you, God, for all you do, O Lord. You're using the name of God, every other word in a prayer. If your kids came home to you and talked to you as their father, the way you think, that way you'd think they were sniffing something. I can't imagine my daughter saying, "Dear Dad, I want to thank you, Dale, for the great allowance you've given me, oh Father, that you give to me, dear Daddy." I'd be like, "Huh?" Yeah. That's right. She never got an allowance. You don't have to use God's name in every other word. You can just talk to me. You can talk to God directly. It sounds more spiritual to throw in all of those extra words when you're trying to think of what to say next in the prayer. If you can't, just stop. You know, God understands silence. He says, when you pray, don't use a lot of meaningless words. A guy by the name of George Bernard, he did a survey, and he found that 66% of Americans admit having taken the Lord's name in vain. But everybody, including me, is guilty of breaking this command. There are many, many ways that we misuse the Lord's name, other than just swearing. You know, and we can rationalize it. We can say, well, I didn't mean anything of it. A lot of times when you get in trouble with somebody over something, you said, you know, you pull out a trusted phrase that you've used many times. You inevitably say, well, I didn't mean it that way. How many of you have ever used that trick with your spouse? I know it doesn't work with Diane, and it doesn't work with God. When you say, God, when I use your name flippantly, I didn't mean anything by it. And God says, that's the point. My name is holy. And you are not to use it flippantly. We need to confess it as sin and take it serious. We need to take God's name seriously. God is dead serious about this. Here are the 10 commandments, the top 10 commandments, the 10 most important things in life. And number 3 is, don't misuse my name. We're not talking about some minor issue here. Leviticus 24 says that if a person was caught taking God's name in vain, he was to be executed, to be stoned. It was a capital offense. How many of us would be alive way back then? You know, God says this is serious business. I will not tolerate my name being misused. When you cuss or misuse God's name, you are offending the creator of the universe. There's power in the name of Jesus. God says, don't mess with my name. It represents my reputation, my character, and my authority. God says, treat my name with awe. The fact is, most of us need to bow our heads right now and apologize to God. Most of us didn't realize or don't realize how serious this is. So how can I use God's name correctly? God promises blessing when you use his name correctly. I challenge you to do a study. There are literally hundreds of verses in the Bible that talk about the name of God. And there are promises galore that say, if you honor and reverence my name, I will bless you with success, with prosperity, with health, with peace of mind, with good relationships. And it goes on and on and on. Incredible blessings for the person who honors God's name. God takes this very seriously. Let's look at three ways that you can use God's name correctly. The first way that we can use his name correctly is to reverence God's name continually. To reverence God's name continually. That means treat it with the utmost respect. Use it carefully. Use it lovingly. Use it as an act of worship. Don't just let it slip out flippantly. When you say, God, mean it in your heart. Psalm 29:2 says, give to the Lord the glory due his name. Honor God's name. When God's name is taken in vain, it bothers God and it ought to bother you. When you hear God's name misused in movies, it should bother you. People say, well, I just tune it out. I don't let it bother me. Then you really don't love God that very much, because that's the bottom line. You know, if my wife's name were taken in vain, I would not say, I just don't let it bother me and tune it out. No. Love demands action. I'd have to do something about it. If somebody ridiculed or made fun of your mother, you'd protest it. You wouldn't sit in silence. But many believers say nothing when Jesus' name is blasphemed all the time. I want to challenge you to speak up. When somebody close to you is using God's name flippantly, you can't do this with strangers, obviously. But I'm talking about the people who are around you, who are close to you, that you could confront about this issue. You've got to do it tactfully, because your goal is not to condemn them, but to influence them. The other day, Haley came home from our neighbors, they have a girl that's her age. And so she goes over to play with them. And she said, Papa, I won't name her name. She said, God. And that's wrong. I said, well, why? Well, she wasn't praying. So even at a young age, she understood that it was wrong. I asked her, so what did you do? She said, I told her not to do it. What did she do? Well, she said, there's nothing wrong with it. Well, she hasn't been raised. What does this command have to do with values? One of the number one places we need to work on is our mouths and in our homes. We probably say more unkind things at home than anywhere else. Verbal abuse is rampant in families today, causing irreparable damage to the relationships. So work on this in your home. We need to reverence God's name continually. Reverence involves not only protecting God's name, but knowing it. Psalm 9:10 says, those who know your name will trust in you. There's a lot of names that describe God in Scripture. And the better you know them, the better you're going to trust him, and the better you're going to understand God, and the better you're going to love him. When you get to know God's name and reverence him on a daily basis, there are enormous benefits to your life. Psalm 61:5 says this, you, God, have given me the blessings you reserve for those who reverence your name. So we reverence God's name continually. Here's a second way to use God's name correctly. Represent God's name clearly. Represent God's name clearly. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, a person who calls himself a Christian should not be doing things that are wrong. The way you represent God's name clearly is through your lifestyle. Did you know your life scout can misuse the name of God? If you call yourself a believer, act like one. If you're going to call yourself a Christian, don't drag Christ's name through the gutter by your lifestyle. Your walk needs to match your talk. If you're a believer, you represent God. You may be the only representation of God that some may ever see. The truth is that there are people all around you that are watching and evaluating your speech and your actions, and they're checking to see how you're different and how you're different in your lifestyle. So guard your mouth. Guard your actions. Listen to this verse in Colossians 3:17. Says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Here's a third way to use God's name correctly. It's to rely on God's name completely. Rely on God's name completely. Psalm 33:21 says, no wonder we are happy in the Lord. We trust his holy name. You know, there are thousands of verses in the Bible that say God has made a number of promises to honor his name. Whatever you do, you should do it in the name of the Lord, trusting and relying on his name. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Why do we pray in Jesus' name? Have you ever wondered that? Because we don't have any right to come before God on our own. God is perfect and holy, and guess what? We're not. You know, only a perfect person can come into God's presence. I don't have any right on my own just to come into his presence. I don't have any right on my own just to come to God and say, God, this is what I need, and this is my request, and here's my need list. Through Christ, I can. He is the bridge. He is the intercessor. And Jesus said we're to pray in his name. It's a reminder that he is the bridge between us and God. And we don't come on our own power. We come on his power, on Christ's power, on Jesus, on his grace. Should I say in Jesus' name every time I pray? You don't have to, but it's not a bad idea. It reminds you why you have the privilege and the benefit of being able to pray to God. So you pray in Jesus' name. And he said, if you ask anything in my name, then I will do it. The bad news is this. You're going to be judged one day for every idle word you've said. It says that in Matthew. We will give an account for every idle word. I don't like that verse, because I know that I've spoken a lot of idle words. When I think about the words I've said, I will be judged for that. So will you. The good news is you can skip the judgment. How? By trusting in the name of Jesus Christ. He will forgive you in advance. Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. It says the name of Jesus Christ is the way that you bypass that judgment. John 20:31 says, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing, you may have life in his name. You see the use of name, how important it is? Encircle life. You can pass from death to life, from judgment to forgiveness in his name. That's what you need. We've all broken this command. And it means we're all doomed unless we get a Savior. And that's what Jesus is. Jesus is. How many of you, when you were kids, because you used a cuss word, you got your mouth washed out with soap? Anybody want to admit it? Okay, a few. Yeah. Sometime you can ask Elder Chip how that worked out with his mom. It doesn't work, does it? Okay, it tastes bad, but the problem is not the mouth. The problem is the heart. Whatever is inside of you is going to come out when the world puts on pressure. if I'm filled with anxiety and tension and turmoil and fear and anger and bitterness, when the world puts on pressure, that's what's going to come out. It's like squeezing a tube of toothpaste. The toothpaste inside is what's going to come out. When I'm filled with love and peace and the world puts pressure, guess what's going to come out? Love and peace. Swearing is simply a symptom that there is turmoil in my heart. And that there is so much turmoil it can spill over real easily if there's enough pressure is put on. In Luke 6:45, Jesus said, "The mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Ultimately, the only way to clean up your language is to have a change of heart. And Jesus can do that. I know that some people, just out of habit, whether learned in the service or at work or in sports or whatever, just out of habit it comes out. But guess what? Jesus can cure that. When we take it seriously, when we understand the words, God says, don't misuse my name. Use it with awe and reverence. Be serious. It's not a laughing matter when someone cusses using God's name in vain. You're offending the creator of the universe. Some of you are saying, well, I've got the habit and I have to admit it. I've got a bad mouth. Maybe you picked up that habit wherever. What do? I think the first thing you need to do is tell God you're sorry and apologize and confess misusing his name. Tell him you don't realize how serious it was. And you need to ask his forgiveness. Then you commit that problem in your life to God. Give him the whole thing. Jesus, come in and give me that new heart and that new tongue. Begin to practice controlling what you would allow in your mind. There are just some things that you don't want to listen to. You know, you don't need to go see certain movies or read certain books because you know it's going into your mind. And you remember that God is with you at all times. So when you're reading that book or going to that movie or listening to that, whatever it is, you remember that God is with you. You need to practice his presence. You don't usually take somebody's name in vain that is standing right by you. Maybe you've forgotten that God is with you all the time. If you'd recognize and realize that you're never without God's presence, you'd be a lot more disciplined in your speech because he hears it all. Ask him to help you. He will. Now, you're probably wondering what this commandment has to do with voting values. Frankly, I don't know what to tell you regarding our current presidential candidates and legally. I'm not allowed to from the pulpit. So you're thinking, oh, he's getting off easy. But I would tell you that things are looking right for a miracle. I think we need to be serious. We need to be serious about praying for our country. Not just saying it, but we need to be serious about it. There's a lot at stake. We need to be serious about praying. Regarding this commandment, I would look at any of the candidates and see if they're using God's name in vain. And one way that I've seen that candidates can do that is all of a sudden they get religious. All of a sudden they start talking about God when it's not part of their lives. And they're using his name in vain to get votes. So I would be careful of that. I would be looking to see if people are actually putting God first in their regular lives. And that's hard to do. That's hard to do. And again, as I said last week, We need to look at what the results are going to be, at the platforms that they're running on. It's more than just the candidates. But we need to pray for miracles. Our nation needs God. Seriously. If you use God's name to win votes or popularity, friends, that's taking God's name in vain. Would you pray with me? Lord, as we look at these commandments, as we look at this one and, the first two that we need to place you, that you are God, that we need to place you first. Lord, that we should have no other gods before you. And now today, that we not take your name in vain. This is an area that sometimes we can slip into unknowingly, not realizing. Lord, I just pray that each one of us will take your name seriously, will take this commandment seriously. Lord, that we would watch our own hearts, our own mouths. Lord, that we would be example to those we are around. God, your name is holy. Help us to treat it that way. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.